Therefore, I urge you all to pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Just a century and some change ago, Alexander Graham Bell invented this wonderful thing called the telephone. Before that, when we wanted to do long-distance communication, you had to write a letter and find a courier to take it for you, or you would entrust it to whatever postal service for whatever nation you belonged to. And hopefully, they were efficient, or hopefully, they could get where they needed to go on time. But what Alexander Graham Bell did was he showed us that you could communicate over long distance over a little wire. And it has revolutionized the way we communicate. Paul is writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and he talks to us about his first rule of life. First of all, I urge you to pray for everything. So we've been looking over the past few weeks at values, at kingdom values. We've looked at hospitality. We looked at reconciliation. We've looked at honesty. And today we're going to look at prayer. Prayer is essential to the human condition. It's what you and I were built for. We were built to communicate, to have a relationship with God. Have you ever gotten a gift on your birthday or a gift for Christmas and you open it, you're so excited, it's always what you wanted. It's one of those things that was on your wish list and you open it up and you're ready to use it, and then all of a sudden you realize that you didn't see the asterisk on the package which said, batteries not included. That's a bit what life without prayer is like. If you live life without prayer, it's like batteries not included. That little gadget of yours is not going to do anything. Now, you might say to yourself, well, okay, but isn't God all-knowing and all-powerful and all-loving? So why does he even need me to tell him? He knows everything. Prayer is communication. And there's three things that we do when we communicate. We share thoughts. We share thoughts and words, we share feelings, and then deeper down, we share our very selves. We share our thoughts. You may have friends, or you may even have acquaintances, or your spouse, your partner, good friends that you go and you communicate with them. You might say, well, what did you do today? And they'll reply, and they'll tell you, okay, well, I drove here, or I did that, or I had this phone call. And that's communicating thoughts. It's the exchange of information. But communication is more than that, but not less than that. Paul says, I urge you to make supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings for all people. Pray about everything. And prayer is communication. Sometimes we ask God for things. Sometimes we ask, that's what supplications are. Sometimes we ask on behalf of others. That's called intercession. Sometimes there's thanksgiving. That's adoration, where you're telling something to someone. Different people have different love languages. My wife has one type of love language. I have another. Hers is acts of service, so I do things for her, right? My love language is words of affirmation. So praise is that. Not that God needs your praise, but there's just something beautiful about expressing your love for him. When you communicate, you are communicating thoughts. But it's more than that, but not less than that. But if it only ever remains at the surface level, you're not really fully engaging in prayer. If you have ever gone to a Right One service, you have noticed that the opening line, what Paul gives us, is the opening line of the prayers of the people, of the intercessions. In your holy word, you've taught us to make prayers and supplications for all people. As one of my seminary professors said, I love how much St. Paul quotes the Book of Common Prayer. Or maybe it's the other way around. But here's the thing. Prayer is more than just communicating thoughts or meaning. It's also communicating feeling. Did you read the prophet Jeremiah's lesson for today? Did you listen to it? Sometimes, and I've discovered this, I've grabbed coffees with people, the week later, and I'm really struggling with this one thing, and I say, hey, did you hear that? Like, that was in our epistle reading, or that was in our Old Testament reading. They're like, oh, really? When we do public reading of Scripture, it's done for our benefit. So sometimes we can just tune out, oh, we're gonna be in 1 Timothy, so let's forget about what Jeremiah was saying or what the psalmist was saying or what Luke was saying. But in Jeremiah, he says, he's pouring out his actual feelings. He's talking to God, and he wants to engage deeper with God. And so he's pouring out his feelings. I have a friend, his name is he's Father Ambrose. He was with me at Oxford, and he was a Rhodes Scholar. He quit that all to then go become a Norbertine monk. And so he and I developed a friendship. You can find some of his stuff on YouTube. He's a bit of a, but he's out at St. Michael's Abbey in California. And I asked him, how's your prayer life? Thinking, this guy's a monk. This is what he does for a living. He's got to have a pretty robust one. They pray the hours and everything else. He said, actually, it's pretty bad. And I was like, oh, what do you mean? He's like, well, this is how it kind of starts out. First of all, I just have a grumble session. I just go to God and I go, I'm just frustrated. Things bother me. I'm anxious. And then all of a sudden, because, well, he's just steeped himself in praying the Psalms, all of a sudden a psalm will come to his mind, and he goes from just processing the emotions and pouring these emotions out to God, his feelings to God. He's then reminded of a verse here or a verse there, and the Holy Spirit just whispers it to him. He goes, he'll remember a verse like, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? And then he says, and he go from just these emotions to then experiencing this warmth and this love of God in my heart. He said, and then the goal of that is to take me beyond that to union. In fact, the word communication is from the Latin word communicare, to bring into communion, to share. The goal of prayer is for you to have a relationship, a connection with God. If prayer is a conversation, I wonder what your conversation with other people besides God looks like. Do you pull out a book and go, hi, Michelle, how was your day today? And sometimes that's what we do with the Book of Common Prayer. And it's a beautiful book. These prayers are time-tested. They're gorgeous. But it's a conversation with God. And a conversation, you have to pause, you have to listen, and you also have to verbalize it and put it in your own words. I could quote, you know, Shakespeare to my wife, but it's not me. The goal of communication isn't sharing just thoughts or emotions. It's ultimately to share yourself. And when you share thoughts, that's at one level. At a deeper level, you're sharing your emotions, and you can share your frustrations. Here's what Paul is telling Timothy and the church in Ephesus when he writes this. He says this, I urge you to make prayers and supplications, intercessions and thanksgiving for all people, and for kings and for those who are in high positions. Now, I think in the Western world, this isn't a hard thing to do. If you live in a place where your government's mediocre or at least not bad compared to other places in the world, this isn't hard. But we have brothers and sisters throughout the world who, when they read this, they're probably engaging with this text even better than we are. They're praying for the mullahs that oppress them. They're praying for dictators that they don't like. And yet, sometimes we're like, man, I don't know if I can pray for this government, right? I remember when I was in the Army, this was back in the mid-90s, and we always have these dinners, right? And you say, to the United States Army, to the whatever regiment you're part of. And then you'd have a toast and you'd say, to the President of the United States. And I remember this one gentleman stood when we were all doing our toast. The leader doing the toast said, to the President. And someone said, to the office of the President. And you could have seen the beeline that my sergeant major took to that guy. And he said, excuse me? That's not how we do that here. And I can tell you what, Sergeant Major was definitely not what you would call on the center left of things. And even though President Clinton was my commander-in-chief, our commander-in-chief, he said, you don't do that. I don't care what your political leanings are. You toast to the office of the president. Here's what Paul's doing. He's doing something very similar. He's like, you may like whoever's in power. You may not like whoever's in power. But Paul offers us a third way. Because normally when you read that verse, you go, oh, I'm going to pray because I really love what's happening. Or I'm going to really pray for revolution and getting rid of that guy. Paul says a radical third way is don't pray for either of those things. Pray for those in power and just see what God does in your heart and in the world. And when you look at how the prayers of the people are structured, we pray for the global world, and then we pray for the local community. We pray for the global church, and then we pray for the local church. And as you pray for that, God starts to act. In the words of Archbishop William Temple, he says, the more that I pray, the more I see coincidences happen. So we are invited to join in, not just praying thoughts or just praying frustrations, and be real when you pray these frustrations. There are so many people sitting in churches, and even in this church, that we're not real with God, and we're not even real with others, and we just bottle in our feelings. Some cultures, you know, they tell you, just express everything. And sometimes we can feel like five-year-old kids on a piece of carpet having a tantrum, right? Then there's, you know, your more modern cultures might have. Your more traditional culture will be like, no, stiff upper lip, bottle it in, don't tell anyone, be a stoic about it. But the psalmist pours out his heart. Even if you want to see 600 years later after the Psalms, that very same genre is found in Mary's Magnificat, where she pours out her emotions. My soul magnifies the Lord. Pray your frustrations, pray your tears, pray your fears. Pray your loneliness. I mean, how many people in this church are feeling lonely and you've never even told God about your loneliness, let alone another person? And here's the thing. Ephesians 4:16 says this, that the body, joined together by every ligament and sinew, when the body is working properly, builds the body. So dissect, get rid of all the prepositions and the adjectives and whatnot. You go subject, verb, direct object. The body builds the body. When you can talk to God, you'll then be able to talk to other people. You'll be able to express what you're thinking and what you're feeling. You'll be able to have conversations. And you know what the goal of conversations is? It isn't just about sharing thoughts or sharing feelings. It's about sharing your very self. In fact, if you think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? At the bottom is your food, shelter, clothing, right? But what's the very top? They might call it self-actualization, but actually it's our greatest desire is to be known and to know. And what is it that Paul prays for here? He says, pray for everyone. First of all, pray for everything that you might know. And what a first century Jew meant when they said no, and you have to realize Paul, even though he wrote in Greek, he was a first century Jew. Knowing isn't about information or even just about emotion. It's about very being. And that's where we get in verse 5 what it says, for there is one God, and there's one mediator between God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. You see, in the parable of that we just read about that manager, right, we sometimes view God as this, maybe he's this shrewd manager, or maybe he's just an exacting boss. But there's a different parable that Jesus tells. And it's the story of a man who owned a vineyard and entrusted this vineyard to people. And in that vineyard, the owner of the vineyard says, you know what, I'd like to know how my vineyard's doing. So he sends some messages. And they send the messenger away. And then he wants to know how it's going on, so he sends another messenger. And this time, they decide to beat the messenger up because they just want to run the vineyard their own way. And so, you know, if you want to put it in a modern kind of paraphrase, we've invented texting and we have voice calls and we have videos. So he goes, okay, I'll send him a text. And you can see there's no read receipt on that one. Then all of a sudden there's the video that you send him and then they delete that or then they send you back another viral like, oh, how dare you ask about the vineyard. Finally, the owner of the vineyard says, you know what? They're ignoring me. They're ignoring my requests. And I've sent one of my managers over there to ask, but they're totally ignoring him. You know what I'll do? I'll send my own son. He owns this vineyard. Surely they'll listen to him. So the son goes, and as he arrives at the vineyard, the owners, the workers in the vineyard say, you know what? This vineyard belongs to someone else, and it's going to get inherited by that son. But if we get rid of the son, the vineyard will be ours. You see, communication isn't just about information or feelings, but about communicating your very self. The owner, in order to communicate, sends his dearly beloved to the vineyard. In fact, John 1:1 tells us this, that in the beginning was the word, Jesus, the Logos, right? Logos, thoughts, pathos, emotion. But then the last one is ontos, being. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes on in John 1:14, it says, and the Word became flesh. And as the paraphrase of the Message says, and it moved into the neighborhood. God wasn't just about sending prophets here and there in the Old Testament, or even sending nice warm fuzzies to his people through his poetry in Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. He then sends his very self, because ultimately the goal of communication is to let yourself be known. And Jesus has become the very message is the messenger. Therefore, I urge everyone everywhere to make prayers and supplications and offer thanksgiving for all. So, Lord, we thank you that you have made prayers and supplications for us. You didn't just communicate thoughts or emotions, but you communicated your very self to us, and you've given your all to us. So, Lord, we ask that in response today, in our prayer lives throughout the week, we would give of ourselves fully to you and go from just thoughts and emotions to our very being offered to you. And may prayer lead to communion, to union, where the infinite meets the finite, that wonderful place where your miraculous revelation happens. So, Lord, we ask that today as we come with prayer and with singing and with bread and wine, would you make yourself known to us? And we ask this all in Christ's strong name. Amen.